Now, a slightly different look this morning, because you're not going to be listening to me for a sermon, and I'll introduce the person I'm going to be talking to in just a second. But first, let me read something from the book of 2 Kings 22, which is probably not this is a passage that's probably not particularly well known. Not an obvious choice for a sermon. 2 Kings 22 from verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Now, a few months ago, we played a game here called Good King, Bad King. You remember that? Now, tell me, was Josiah, I'm looking at Willie in particular here, was Josiah a good king or a bad king? Good king. He was a good king. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Edidiah. She was from Bozkah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Even though he started being king at the age of 8. Now, that's quite impressive. I'm not sure I'd fancy being anything when I was 8, let alone king. How is it that an 8-year-old, and if you continue to read the passage, it talks through some of the events of his life when he's 18 and he starts doing all sorts of very important things. How is it that a young man like that can do what is right in the eyes of the Lord and be a good king? Answer, he had some great youth leaders, or at least advisors. But in our day and age, youth leaders are really, really important. John, come up to the front. Do you want to hold that, or do you want to just have it in the air? Many of you will know John Allen here. John, who are you? What do you do?
That's a good question. My name is John Allen. I'm the youth worker with Osprey Youth Project, which is currently attached to St. Andrew's Leckie Parish Church. Before that, I grew up in Galla Shields, but don't hold that against me, because I went to the Galla Shields Baptist Church my entire life until converting to the Church of Scotland for work reasons.
So we'll be praying for John later on.
Yes. I kind of didn't intend to get into youth work really so much. I studied graphic design and multimedia design and production and further education in Aberdeen. And it was there that I really got involved in kind of church youth work as part of a youth work team. And the church I went to had a paid youth worker there. And so we kind of were part of a team with him. And I remember thinking at that time, oh, I could never be a youth worker. There's just so much to do and organize, and you have to be all these different kinds of things. And I'm happy being part of a team, but not, oh, I don't want to be the guy. And then we moved back home to the borders, and I got involved in the youth work in Galla Shields Baptist Church. And I became the sort of youth leader there, not a paid position, but just kind of in my spare time. But I realized very quickly that it was a limit to what you could achieve as an unpaid youth worker and just in your spare time. So there was a lot of things I wasn't able to do. And although there was sort of talks about, oh, the church needs a paid youth worker, and maybe John could do that, nothing ever happened. You know, church decisions aren't the quickest things in the world. So, and then at that same time, though, you know, by this time I was married. My wife, Lucy, you may have seen her there. I have 3 kids. Lucy's originally from Peebles. At that time we had 2 kids, and so we were traveling, and we'd moved to Cardrona, this is where I stay, from St. Boswell's. And so we were traveling down every Sunday to Galla Shields Baptist Church, and it was getting increasingly difficult having to take packed lunches for the kids, which they would eat during the service, and they wouldn't settle in Sunday club or creche, and it was just really hard for us. We could never get to any of the social things or house groups anymore, because they all happened at 7:30, which is the standard time for church meetings. And so that was always kids' bedtime. So it became increasingly difficult to get to church and to have any kind of meaningful church involvement. But I was oblivious to this because I had the whole youth thing on and I was leading worship sometimes. But Lucy noticed it first, and she felt that God was really challenging us to go and be worshippers in the community that we were part of, which was Peebleshire. So we decided to up sticks church-wise and try different churches in Peebles. And the Lecky was the first one that we went to. And I'd also heard about this youth work job that was going to be coming up. And so I went for that, and I got it. And that was a year and a half ago. So I've been in the post 18 months.
Excellent. So that role is with an outfit called the Osprey Youth Project?
Yes.
So tell us about that and what it does.
Okay, well, the Osprey Youth Project had been being planned and prepared for a number of years before they advertised the job, and it was originally supposed to be a full-time post shared with between the two Church of Scotland, so Lecky Church and the old parish at the end of the High Street. And at the last minute, the old parish, they had to pull out for financial reasons, and so Lecky decided to go on a part-time basis. But really, the three basic aims for the youth work post were to make contacts, to make friends, and to make disciples, in kind of all the things that wouldn't be included in those aims. And so that's really it. There's it's not just church work, it's community work, it's schools work, and everything kind of in between and beyond as well.
Thinking then first about some of the stuff that goes on within a church context, mm-hmm. Tell us some of the groups that you run for the youth there.
Okay. I mean, the aim for Osprey Youth Project is still very much to be a community resource and an inter-church resource, really. And it's just so happens that it's attached to St. Andrew's Lecky at the moment, because all the people who have funded it just happen to be individuals who go to that church. And because the space and the buildings, that's kind of, it makes sense for me to have a sort of office space there. But in St. Andrew's Lecky, we have a 7-Up group on Sunday morning, which is for P7 and up, and so I'm involved in that. And that's really the sort of youth Bible class. Similar to here, the young people and children are in the service until after the second song, and then they go out to age-appropriate activities. There's also a midweek youth club called Pie and Chips, and that's really just the social time, and it's pretty much the same young people who come along to the 7-Up group, but instead of it being a teaching time, it's really relationship building and fun games, activities. Sometimes we go on night hikes or trips to the bowling or whatever, or just games of football. Sometimes we hire out the guides and play basketball and do rollerblading and things. But it's really just the social time that goes along with the Sunday morning teaching slots. So that's 7-Up, Pie and Chips. We've also got Identity, which is a kind of, it's kind of like a flagship event, I see it as. It's our sort of youth worship event, kind of like a youth service. And so this is where we see, I mean, some of the groups that we have are sort of for specific ages, but Identity is really for everybody. And there's been a core group of people who have helped get that set up. It started off as being called People's Youth Service, and then we kind of branded it Identity. And it's really, it's a mixture of kind of games, activities, and teaching, and videos, and food. Food seems to be an integral part of youth work. Very important, not just for myself, but for the young people as well. And worship as well. I think if we're honest, a lot of churches don't really cater for the worship needs of children and young people so much. And so Identity, that's something that we were keen to include. And that's not been the easiest thing, but it's something that I think is very important, because if we don't teach our young people and children how to worship God, then how can they grow up worshiping God, and how can they then pass it on to their kids and young people when they're church leaders and whatever. So very important. And again, it's just a fun time of them meeting together and seeing that they're part of a wider community of Christian young people around Peebles. We've also, what else have we got? Bob's House is our youth house group, which again kind of spans across, I think it's now three different churches, maybe even four actually. And so we have about 13 kind of young people, that's for S4 and above. And it's a chance to explore in a very informal and relaxed way some of the things that we can't maybe answer about their questions that we just don't have time on a Sunday morning during the 7-Up or whatever other groups we have. But it's a time just to dig a little deeper in their faith, to try and answer some questions or doubts they may have about Christian faith and Christian life, and just to have some banter and some fun. Food, again, very important. It's been great, and it's I don't know if you have house groups here or whether you've been part of house groups in the past, but it's basically a youth house group, and so all the things that it's time to encourage one another and to go through each other's struggles together and just be part of each other's lives, I suppose. So it's 7-Up. I forget otherwise. Pine Chips, Identity, Bob's House. We have a youth band. There's a lot of kind of musical talented people and the young people I work with, and so we set up a youth band. And again, this is to try and encourage them in their worship. They get to play and sing songs that that kind of get them excited about God, and it's a real challenge actually getting them to turn up to practices with their music and things. But when they get into the songs, they're now getting to the stage where they're saying to me, "No, I don't want to sing that one. I want to sing this one." And so we say, "Right, we'll go with your option then, and we'll do that." And then if they're getting to kind of realize which songs are helping them worship God, and I think that's really important as well. So, so youth band, we've got about 9 people in it. There's a couple of guitarists, a bass player, a drummer, trumpet, violin, about 5 singers. So it's good.
This is an even more youthful band than Esther and me.
Even more youthful.
It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yes. I'm just going to check my phone because I've got notes. I think I've forgotten something.
Just while you're looking at that, when I came and John and I met, we did talk about the possibility of stealing the youth band occasionally to play for us here on a Sunday morning. And we haven't got around to doing that, but would that be a good thing? Yes, I say.
That's fine. You might have to move the chairs back a bit to fit them all in, but yeah, that'd be great. And the other thing that we do sometimes is we take them up to PowerPoint, Edinburgh. PowerPoint is a youth worship event. I mean, when I say that our identity events is our kind of flagship thing, it's a big event, but I mean, PowerPoint is just, there's about 900 young people turn up to these events, just to see them worshiping God and realizing that they're part of something much bigger, a generation of people growing up with Jesus is just fantastic. And it's a pleasure to be able to take our group up to these events and to hear kind of just really engaging speakers, to experience worshipful prayer, that is so real to them, and just to be able to spend time. There's been several times when we've been there and the leaders up the front have felt that the prayer time needs more time, and so they've said, right, we're just going to have longer time. If you don't want to be part of the prayer time, you can go out and go to the tuck shop or whatever. And the amount of people that stay in for the extended prayer time is just amazing, and it's so encouraging. That happens every couple of months. So we try and take a minibus or a few car loads up. And again, these sorts of things depend on volunteers as well. So I'm privileged to have a number of volunteers. There's Mark and Declan as well, and a few other folk. A lot of things couldn't happen without people giving up their spare time and doing that. So which is really valued, and the kids love it as well. So so they're always saying, why can't we have PowerPoint every month? It's like, well, so yeah.
Okay, excellent. Now, a lot of that is working with kids who are already Christians, or at least church-based kids. But you also do a lot of work in the high school. tell us a bit about what's going on there.
Okay, yeah. I'm on the team of chaplains. So there's Ian and I and eight or nine others. So it's basically all the ministers from PeopleShare plus myself. And we kind of go in and help the Senior Student Council to deliver assemblies at Remembrance time and Christmas and Easter. But we've also approached the school with sort of asking them, you know, can we as chaplains help the school in other ways? Can we expand the role of the chaplain to benefit the pupils and staff in other ways? And so they've said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. You know, and we've been in to chat to them about that, and we're exploring how we do that. But it might just mean very simply just being there more and walking the corridors at lunchtimes maybe and just being on hand so that we're recognized as chaplains and part of the school team, so that if anything happens, and we hope it never does, but if, you know, like a pupil has an accident or if there's a death or something, then and we're needed as to be there as sort of spiritual guidance or support people, then we're sort of recognized and we already have some sort of relationship with the pupils that they value and get. I've also had the chance to help the school write its policy on religious observance, which has been kind of a rush job because they gave me a weekend to do it. But it's been great, actually, and to be included in that part of the life of the school. And so that's part of the handbook that they give out to people joining the school. That's been great. And just getting to know the senior management team at the school has been really good. And so the other big thing that I do at the school is called Romance Academy. And this is a weekly kind of a class. Well, it's really a group work that I do. And so this is the first, I'll rewind a bit. Romance Academy started as a 2005 BBC documentary called No Sex, Please, We're Teenagers. And what it was basically a six-month show kind of charting the progress of 12 young people who were really trying to identify themselves through the sexual relationships that they were having or the sort of drink and drug-fueled lifestyles that they were choosing. They thought that they would find their confidence and their strength in life in those sorts of activities. And so Romance Academy was that really a sex and relationships guidance course, and the program was based around that. And so, but then they set up Romance Academy as an organization, and they've set up training days. And so I went along to a training day in May last year, along with a teacher from the high school, and we're now the first school in Scotland to be doing Romance Academy. It's already been rolled out in England and Wales and Northern Ireland. It's very big in Northern Ireland as well, but we're the first place in Scotland to do it. And it's going really good so far. This is the first, we're doing a sort of 12-week group work approach to it. And it's a mixture of kind of games and activities and sort of teaching. And it's from a Christian perspective, but not prescriptively Christian. And, you know, we're never going to get out of a Bible and say, this is what God says about sex or anything. But it's based on the values that God has placed on us and of sex and relationships and the strength that we can kind of get from just being unique and individual and not having to bow down to peer pressure and things like that. So again, we're in our first term of that. We're just over halfway through. But it's going really good, and we can already see the benefits of in the young people's lives already. There's a few there's a mixture of people. I mean, it's really for anyone. There's a stigma attached to some of these groups that it's just for the people who are already sexually active in harmful ways or with people that shouldn't be or whatever. But it's not just for that. It's for everyone and anyone, because it's about kind of valuing yourself and realizing that you can be confident in who you are, whoever you are, and that your lifestyle decisions will be based on that value for yourself rather than any expectations that people may place on you, if that makes sense. Mm. So that's really exciting, and we've got a license to run Romance Academies for 3 years, and the school are on board with it. They think it's great, and we're already getting people coming to us and say, can I put my name down to be on the next Romance Academy for the next term? So onwards and upwards, really.
Excellent. And as a parent of three teenagers at the high school, I've got to say I'm really grateful for some of the stuff that's going on. I think it's really exciting. Now, if you go down to the school and look up into the heavens at the top of the maths tower, you will see, amidst all the empty, gloomy-looking windows, one window right at the top that is strangely decorated and has got all sorts of bits and pieces in it. And that is I'll let you tell us about the room that that's in. But before you do, let's just show a wee video that the children at the school saw in assembly a couple of months ago when this room was introduced. This is a video called Why Pray?
Have you ever wondered why so many people pray? Well, Albert Einstein said that there's really only two ways to live, as if nothing's a miracle or as if everything's a miracle. Either life's a fluke and we're just a bunch of highly evolved animals on a big rock lost in space, or there's a creator behind creation, a God behind goodness. And if so, then connecting with him in prayer is pretty much the most mind-blowing thing you can do. Archaeologists keep digging stuff up that shows we've always prayed. People of many faiths pray daily. Even atheists admit to praying sometimes. Real prayer is a two-way conversation with the living God who loves and listens to the things we say. Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name and it'll be done." We have a chance to ask for peace, healing, health, or whatever we need. Life matters, you matter, your choices, thoughts, prayers, and actions echo in eternity. But in case you hadn't noticed, God is pretty much invisible and not always easy to hear. There are distractions, disappointments, and questions that we all share. That's why 24/7 prayer does stuff to help thousands of people in hundreds of places connect with God in new ways. People are learning to pray by just praying. Why don't you take on the challenge of a 24/7 prayer room? Just gather your friends, find a place, pick a week, get creative in the space, and fill every hour of the week with a chain of prayer. Prayer vigils like these have been changing lives for 2,000 years, and today millions are discovering that God's real, life's a miracle, and the most powerful thing you can ever do is to pray.
So talking there about, a 24/7 prayer room. Now, you're not doing 24/7 prayer at the school, but you have got a prayer room. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think the key thing is really what the guy said there. People are learning to pray by just praying, you know? And in churches, we can be guilty sometimes of kind of building prayer up. And it's something that children and young people might find inaccessible. They don't know how to approach it or, you know, they don't use the wrong words or whatever. And so the prayer room at the school is really just a, we've called it soul space. We didn't call it a prayer room because we didn't want to put people off. We didn't want people to see it as a purely religious experience room because it's so much more than that, you know? There's different stations, prayer stations set up around the room that will, pupils can interact with and kind of creatively work through and process some of the kind of emotional areas of their life. And so there's about six stations, I think. There's when you go in, we've got a thankful station first. So very simply, what are you thankful for in life? And they very, you know, just some post-it notes, some drawing pens. They write something that they're thankful for in life, and they pin it up on the notes board. And moving around, we've got sorry, forgiveness, and let go station. And we've got a vase, a big vase of water, and some dissolvable vitamin tablets. And I've put an instruction sheet at each station to make it very clear as to what people are encouraged to do. And there's no pressure on anyone to kind of do anything a certain way, or, you know, and it's for anyone, really. I mean, they can just go in and just look if they want to, but the hope is that people will eventually think, right, I'm going to try that, and maybe it just may be one station, but they'll give it a go, and that'll be simply them trying praying. And so the Sorry, Forgiveness, Let Go station has this vase of water with dissolvable tablets, and they're encouraged to think about something that they've done that they need to be forgiven for, or something that someone's done to them that they want to forgive someone for, or it could be just a hurtful experience from their past that they want to let go of. And so they will think through these things and hopefully try praying about them. And just when they're ready, they can let go of this dissolvable tablet into the water, and they'll see it just disappear. And that will kind of reaffirm to them that when they've said sorry, or when they've forgiven someone, or if they want to let go and they've asked God to help them, then it really will be done. You know, they will be forgiven. They will be free from bearing a grudge on someone. So moving around again, we've got the love station, and we've got a jar of love hearts, which have been very popular so far, and love heart shaped post-it notes. And again, very simply, just, you know, think of someone that you love. If you could ask God to do something for that person, what would you ask him? Write it down and stick it up. And so a lot of the comments that we've had on those ones have been about giving people strength, or being with someone for journeys, safety in journeys, and things like that. So it's very encouraging to sort of, you know, it reinforces that prayer isn't just about a shopping list of what we want God to do for us, or what we can ask God for, but it's about the benefit of others. What do we want God to do for the people around us, the people that we see who need God and things. And then moving around, we've got this veil and a mirror. And this is really the sort of self-identity, self-image kind of zone. And so people go into the veil, and they'll have to look at themselves in the mirror and kind of think about their place within the school, their place within the sort of community. They can look out the window and look out over the town. And it's okay, I don't know. And they're encouraged to think of themselves as special, even though all the media hype says you need to look a certain way to be successful, or if you look a certain way, you won't be successful, or things like that. Just to value who they are because of their uniqueness and their individuality. And then also within the veil, there's this little clothes rail that we've put strings up and set up like a loom kind of weave. And so there's a basket of ribbons and cloth and strips of linen and things. And so they pick up one and they just weave it through. And as more and more people do that, their small part to play in that weave becomes something much more, much bigger and more beautiful and varied. You know, everyone's got different, they'll pick different ribbons and linens and cloths and things, and some people just, you know, pass them through, and some people just tie them at one end. But it kind of reinforces that they're part of the school community, whoever they are, and part of the wider community and peoples as well. And so then there's a corner with just cushions and mats and nothing else, and so it's just a space, time to think. You know, life for teenagers is so fast-paced. It's ridiculous. There's no time to sit and reflect and to ponder things. You know, like, do we ponder anymore? Do any of us ponder anymore these things? You know, it's kind of social networking and everything is just so fast. The change between buying a new computer and 6 months later it's obsolete because they've brought out some new thing. Everything is just churning out quicker and faster and more than ever. And so just a space to sit and think, and maybe even just to offer up a prayer that's generated not from any of the stations, but just from their heart, is available there. And then in the middle of the room, we've got kind of clothesline strings hanging down with pegs and tags. And so this is the big life question. So if they do have questions, they can think about these and just ask them. And if that's a prayer, or maybe it's a I mean, they could even be cries for help in there. So I'll go in every couple of days and just check all the post-it notes and all the tags, whatever's, I'll read everything that's been written, and I'll put a tiny little dot on each thing just to show myself that I've read it. And if there's anything that needs kind of passed on to the pastoral team of the school, then I'll do that. And there hasn't been anything yet, but I was at a prayer space in schools conference in September, and they had lots of stories that of people who, you know, they've been going in, visiting the prayer rooms in schools and not, never kind of staying to pray, but then, you know, they're just sort of testing it to see, check that it is a safe place, and then they've gone in and written something on a post and put it up about a time that they've self-harmed or attempted suicide even, and so then they've not been able to tell the school or a grown-up that they've trusted or whatever, but they've written it up because they trusted the prayer room, and then they've been able to get help that way. So it's a really big opportunity for some really powerful things to be worked through in the lives of the young people of Peebles High School. And actually, one of the biggest supporters has been a teacher who's not a Christian and not religious in any way, but she just gets the idea of that. Even for people who have very limited faith or belief or no belief at all in God, just the chance to work through and process emotional and spiritual kind of parts of their life just is so rarely seen in schools and so beneficial that she's gone up and she found it great, and she actually was there, and the school were trying to find her, and they didn't know that she was in the prayer room. And when she came out, she felt kind of that she'd received some sort of peace. You know, she'd had a busy morning, and she'd gone up to sort of look for some peace, and she'd got that. And when she came down, she got this phone call with some actually quite sad news about a pupil that she worked with who'd had a death in their family. But she felt as if she was supposed to go to the prayer room to kind of ready herself for receiving this bad news. And so even for her to say that, it was just really significant, I felt. And so she's now looking at getting this thing together where, like, she takes one member of staff up to the prayer room and, you know, introduces them to it, and then they then take someone else up to the prayer room. And so, and I've been up there when, and she's taken pupils up and things. So so we've got the people who aren't Christians kind of doing the Christians' work, which is really funny. But yeah, and I think even curriculum for excellence, which we hear about in schools, part of that is that it's not just about the sort of emotional and physical and social well-being, but also the spiritual well-being in schools. And so this, a prayer room, ticks that box brilliantly for schools. And so, yeah, even for staff, just the chance to kind of go and kind of work through some of these things is really important, I think.
Isn't that exciting? A couple of years ago, if you'd said, we're thinking about setting up a prayer room in the high school, most people would have thought, it'd be ridiculous. Number one, you won't get it in the first place because the culture of schools these days is prayer in schools, anything, you know, religious in schools, very, very dodgy. And in any case, nobody's going to go to it. And yet, clearly, what's happened has been just the opposite of that. So really, really exciting stuff. We're running out of time slightly. John, tell us, how can we pray, firstly for you? Well, tell us how we can pray for you first, and then I'll come on to another thing.
Okay. Really just that God's Holy Spirit would go before me in everything that I do with all the young people. Especially, I mean, it's sort of being a church youth worker is sort of easy because, you know, the young people that are coming along to your groups are already kind of, you know, they've got some degree of belief or faith or connection to a church anyway. But it's the people, the young people that I work with, you know, that Romance Academy or I also do a sort of information point in the school where I promote youth events and youth organizations around the town. And so I get, and that's in an atrium on a Tuesday lunchtime. So there's, you know, there's a lot of people coming through and I suppose I would love for them to experience something, you know, that not in the conversations, but just that they would get something of God through hearing about what I do or that. So yeah, but I mean, just God's been great at opening doors, especially into the high school, and so just more of the same, really, and that, you know, just God would go before me through everything, and I suppose greater unity within the Christian young people of Peebleshire, because it's so, I mean, Peebleshire is huge, and there's Christians that kind of out West Linton way that, you know, kind of the young folk there are sort of on their own, and you know, when we have identities or go up to PowerPoints and things like that, then it's great. But if they could kind of get together more often as a community of young believers, that would be great. So to strengthen each other, and
excellent. I've got one more question for John, but just before I ask that, maybe we could just pray for John. Shall I lead us and praying for him and his work? Father God, thank you so much that you have brought John to Peebles, and that you've created the post based at the Lecky that is doing this work. Father, we do pray, just as he's been asking there, that your spirit would go before him, that you would give him courage and strength and wisdom as he speaks to young people, as he does that work. We pray that you would create opportunities. We pray that you would open hearts and ears as he speaks, both to the children and to the staff and parents, anyone he might encounter. Father, we pray that you would be doing exciting things in that role. So we ask you to bless John in the name of Jesus. Amen. John, one more question, and I'm not going to pray following this one, but you are in a second. John, how can we pray for the young people of Peebles and the high school in particular?
The high school, really, we had a Lecky, St. Andrew's Lecky Church had the 24-hour prayer space at the end of November, and we had a school's kind of station set up there, and the idea was that, you know, we would go and ask each of the head teachers of all the three primary schools and high school of what their prayer requests would be, because it's all very well asked sort of thing, you know, we'll pray for this and this and this for the high school, but what's, you know, from the horse's mouth kind of thing, that's mm-hmm. what we want. So I was able to go in and speak to the rector and one of the deputy rectors at the high school and say, what do you want us to be praying for? And at first he said a new maths teacher, but then I think that was sort of a joke. But he said just really the resources to be able to deliver the sort of educational life to the pupils that they want to be able to deliver, and not to be held back by kind of resources or, I think there's been a lot of staff off sick really and recently, and, you know, obviously the sickness bug hasn't helped, and so just kind of well-being for staff, the resources necessary to deliver the right educational life within the school. Peebles High School is the largest high school in the Borders. There's just over 1,200 pupils there, and the only times that the school can get together all in one place is the Easter and Christmas assemblies, because they're held in the old parish church, which can fit them all in. So I suppose for God to help the unity within the church, within the school, so that pupils kind of value their school and each other, value the staff.
Okay. Thank you. What I'd like us to do just for our final 5 minutes or so together is, can you just turn to sort of five or six people around you and just spend a few minutes praying for the high school, as John's been talking about. If you're not comfortable praying in the group, that's fine. You can just sit and listen or pray silently. But if you're happy to pray out loud in that group, please do so. And we'll just spend a few minutes doing that.